Good. In your house.
There's a hook to it. Yeah,
oh, yeah. In your house.
In your house.
With Big L on
guitar.
You ever plowed Stephanie Wyand?
Skillabop, 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 pop chi.
Oh, yeah. We be rocking.
Scoop, boobadoobie, boop, boop, ta.
Dumb, but brave. Just about plowing is broad.
Oh, yeah. Let's plow, let's plow, let's plow.
You know I'm wrapped around her finger.
Oh, six tits and Big Al shredding the guitar. Did you get a look inside that slop bucket? It looks like a chef salad.
I want to watch it real slow. Like knees bent, ass out, like in the, proposition position.
Whoa, one shot, he's mad, and then he's mad, everybody's mad, he shoved the other one, and the other one, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on back here. Vince, it's crazy. And this all happened in your house, too.
Awful lot of man out there, that's for sure. These lumber daddies.
Make a difference spot two back there. Make a difference spot two is there. Hardcore Bobby Love is there.
Fucking Techno Team 2000.
Gigolo. Jimmy. Del Rey.
Oh, you never got Bam back here. You never got Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett was back here. Rhodey was back here. And then he came back and he was mad. And then he came back and he was mad. And then Double J shoved Rhodey. And then Rhodey shoved Double J. You're never going to believe what happened.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network,
Girl Brain Wrestling Podcast presents
the Year of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke the Dumpster Bags.
Handsome Kevin.
And we are back with show number 109. Today we're talking about In Ya Ha,
in
number
ya
two.
In Ya Ha, part two. In Ya Ha, da.
In Ya Ha, da. The Lumberjacks.
Howdy.
Kind of works, right? Because it's Nashville.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is, yeah. Nashville.
Yeah, In Ya Ha.
They got a real country music theme for this. For this show. It's appropriate, I guess. For where,
yeah, but
at.
I hate it, man.
You hate it?
Yeah, I so you know me, man. I'm a pretty easygoing guy, right? Pretty I'm a real live, laugh, love kind of guy, right?
Sure.
Sure. For this, right? For this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Just for this example. Country music is like one of the few things that when I hear it, I become enraged. Like if I were ever in a fight, which I don't ever see happening, but if I were ever in a fight, I would hope that there was some country music on, because I will kill a motherfucker if country music is. I can't stand it, man. I cannot stand country music.
What about Double J's new hit single, man?
That's a little bit different.
That's a country song right there.
Well, I don't like the song, but I like Double J.
All right. There is some mean guitar playing on that song.
Yeah, it's not bad. The guitar. I still hate country music. Right. When I hear it, I just want to punch things, right?
Yeah. Especially like this mid-90s country music. Pretty bad generic stuff.
All of it pretty much is, man.
Not a huge fan, but, I mean, there's some good stuff. Very few and far between in the 90s.
Wait a second.
Like the 90s, this was Garth Brooks and Travis Tritt and Alan Jackson and Dwight Yoakam and Vince Gill and all these guys. None of those guys are making my playlist.
Brooks and Dunn?
Oh, you know they're there.
Of course they are.
There's a couple of mustaches to put on your mustache Rushmore.
You got your Alan Jacksons and such, but it's not good. There's not good, in my opinion, right? In my musical taste tells me country music, no.
And I your like opinions, Hank Williams, the first.
Oh, you would.
And I like the Monday Night Football song by his son, Hank Jr.
Okay. You know what I like about that song?
Huh.
When it ends, I get to watch football.
You know, that tune kind of reminds me of what they got going on here for the In Your House tune.
Okay.
The In Your House song they got starting off here really closely resembles the Superstars theme and the theme we got for the pre-show of Mania 11.
Okay.
Just with some, you were telling me you didn't much care for the words for it, though.
No, I don't. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. In your house.
The chorus is good. In your house.
There's a hook to it. Yeah,
oh, yeah. In your house. In your house. verses he's talking about is Chevy and.
Yeah, just the regular stuff.
Yeah.
Just the regular stuff. I do hate it. The one thing that I picked up on the open, though, the address for the In Your House. Not the original In Your House, but the In Your House for this event.
The second.
Yeah, the second. 1624.
I seen that. I was wondering what the significance was.
I don't know. I did look up. I tried to find some significance. I have no significance.
Maybe it'll be revealed as we talk about it.
It's a long play.
1624. Keep it in mind.
All right, I will.
So this son of a bitch took place live on July 23rd, 1995 at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. It is one of my favorite towns, and I'm actually going to be heading there tomorrow. So, I mean, maybe I'll stop by the old, I wonder if that Municipal Auditorium's still there.
Oh, here we are again, right? We're right back to where we were last, it was 2 weeks ago. Mister, they bulldozed the shit, but I don't know, there's probably a hole there, right?
Man, I was right about that.
No, you weren't.
You asked me what was there, I'm like, probably an arena or a hole in the ground.
No, you weren't right.
It's an arena. At first, they put the hole in the ground.
But you also said, what were the other options? Low-income housing?
Yeah, low-income housing, high-rise.
Yeah.
I actually think this municipal auditorium's still there, so we can skip over that part of the show.
Okay, well, if you think that it's there and you find the coordinates, I would like you to take a picture of it or in front of it.
It's like a homework assignment?
Yes. We'll put it out on the socials and say, hey, look, here's Duke at Double J's concert hall.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that's where Ric Flair had his last match a couple years ago.
Same spot.
Or his last match to date.
Oh, to date, right. Yeah. I think he's still fighting a couple demons.
So as with the first In Your House show and the rest of them we're going to cover, there's dark matches before and after the broadcast. Prior to the show, Skip with Sonny defeated Aldo Montoya. Man, Polacco, he was born for the dark match, wasn't he?
Yeah. Nobody fucking sees it.
Right. Could have gone to see, I mean, Sonny would have been nice.
Yeah. Wouldn't have been let down by that. Would have been brought up. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I think she's probably the only gal on the roster.
Man, you say that all the time, but would you forget about Stephanie Wyand?
Do we get her this time?
I don't think we've ever gotten her.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't, right? I don't know about your sexual conquests. You ever plowed Stephanie Wyand? You holding out on me, bro?
Nah, man.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Not yet.
You never Romeo'd her old log cabin there?
I mean, she's still floating around, man. Guess yeah. Not yet.
So there's a chance. Guy there's can a chance. Dream. Yeah. Fucking Romeo'd her log cabin.
That's a new one.
Yeah, I might stick. We'll see.
But yeah, that intro tune is just kind of your standard country rock tune. Real heavy on the music this episode is a big storyline coming into this one. It's Double J, Jeff Jarrett, launching himself into country music superstardom. He'll be performing his new hit single, With My Baby Tonight, as well as defending his Intercontinental Champion. Man, hardest working guy in the Federation right now.
Yeah, I think he is.
So I actually think the only gals on this show are his three backup singers. So we'll get a taste of them a little bit later.
I don't want to taste them.
So on the Raw following King of the Ring, your guy, Savio Vega, got a shot at that Intercontinental title. Had his win broken up by the Roadie, and HBK happened to be guest ring announcing at the time. He didn't much care for that. So he took out the Roadie and Double J and got himself a title shot out of the deal. So I'm hoping whoever wins will give Savio a title shot, right?
Well, he deserves it, right?
Because he got cheated.
He got dicked. Yeah.
So Vince welcomes us to the City of Dreams here. Jerry the King Lawler. They're decked out in some cowboy gear. Lawler's got a real funny looking situation with the cowboy hat, with the crown.
He's got a cowboy hat. Yeah, he's got a crown boy hat.
The crown boy hat.
Yeah.
First up, we get the Roadie taking on the 1-2-3 Kid. Good to see Kid in action.
It is good to see Kid in action. I don't like that he's the Roadie. Like, he just announced himself as the Road Dog. Double J called him the Road. Everybody's calling him Road Dog last episode, and all of a sudden he's back to being the Roadie. Like, let him be the Road Dog.
I think Roadie is, like, his proper title.
See, Roadie seems like a nickname for Road Dog. Like, Road Dog would be his name proper. And Roadie would be, like, it'd be like if your name is you know, David, and they call you Davey.
Oh.
Or your name is Anthony, and they call you Tony. So if your name is Road Dog proper, and they call you Roadie, right?
So you think Road Dog proper, that's a proper name?
I think it's a proper name, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it makes sense. Logic checks.
Well, he will go as the Road Dog, you know, later on.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
A couple of future DXers here. This is a contender for match of the year so far.
You think that highly of this match?
This is a pretty damn good match. It's the first time we see the Kid this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. Vince tells us that the Roadie's been here since 5:30. Setting up the stage, yeah. Doing the...
Like, he's the only motherfucker that works.
Well, I mean, he's got... Double J's got his big performance today.
That would be fucking something if he was. He was the only guy that showed up. Like, he's driving a giant fucking U-Haul. He's hauling every piece of stage and equipment. He's setting up one by one. People are walking by like, hey, can I help? No! I'm the Roadie. I do... This is my job.
Real dedication. I know I was talking about Double J being the hardest working guy, but I mean, if Roadie's showing up at 5:30, he's probably...
That's a great point. Yeah.
We get a nice head scissor from the Kid early on, sends Roadie to the outside, follows it up with a big flying kick over the top. So he didn't get all of that one, but it was an unusual strike to throw for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like leaping over the top, doing a kick.
Yeah, almost Rob Van Dam-esque.
Oh, yeah, very, very Van Dam-esque. So back in the ring, Kid lands a stinger splash, but gets caught in a power slam. We go back to Double J's dressing room where he's getting ready, not really paying attention to the Roadie's match. Get a 1-2-3 chant going. Roadie picks up the Kid and rams his head and ball bag into the post. Back in the ring, Roadie continues to bring the pain, sending Kid way up into the air. See some more of those Roadie gyrations that you like as he showboats. And then we see Double J in the back again, this time with his three ladies. Oh, yeah.
His ladies are not, oh, yeah.
No?
No, man. Did you see him?
I had a glance. You know, I was watching the match, you know.
Sure you were. Sure you were. The guy that gets fucking horny over Sensational Sherry and fucking Fabulous Moolah in 95 is like, oh, yeah, I was watching the match and there was three broads on the screen. Yeah, right. You're probably smacking it around.
Well, Double J, he says he'll be right behind those gals. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I take these gals over Moolah for sure. Not over Sherry.
Of course.
Brody goes for a big splash from the top, and he misses. Kid capitalizes with some of them trademark kicks. He strikes one of these karate pose numbers. Goes to the top, nails a frog splash, only gets a two. Then they do the Irish whip bit. Rhodey catches Kid with a sit-down P-bomb, another close two. Just real back-and-forth good match here. I was surprised. Shouldn't have been so surprised. I mean,
we shouldn't have been.
A couple of solid workers here.
Yeah.
And then Rhodey lands a damn pile driver from the second rope to get the win. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, a couple of things I want to touch on in this match. Early on in the match, Dog goes for a leapfrog and Kid does like a roll through. And I cannot tell if that was planned or completely fucking botched. Most of me says it was botched. And Kid accidentally clipped Road Dog's leg and Dog just fell on his face. Dog sold it through. Like, you have to sell it through at that point. But that exchange looked a little bit weird. One point when they're on the outside, Dog picks up Kid. Or he doesn't pick him up. He kind of like drags him, however you want to put it. Essentially like halfway around to the other side of the ring to get to that ring post to do the classic like pick him up nut shot.
Yeah. Like,
why would you walk from one corner post around another corner post to get to that other corner post halfway around the ring to do the move that you could have done where you were standing? That didn't make any sense to me. Didn't like that at all.
Maybe they only got one camera guy out there.
But you would have seen it on hard cam. And there was a camera guy over there. It was just fucking dumb. It was just dumb. There's no reason for it. Unless they're like, I got to get over where commentary is. Because I want to see, you know, the boss watch me really deliver this nut shot.
Could have been, yeah.
And
he
then,
really had his sights set on that post.
That post, yeah. It just didn't make any sense. And then finally, that second rope P driver. I love the thought, right? I love the thought of a second rope P driver. It's cool, but it looked horrible. You know what I mean? Like, it was cool to see, but it looked like hell. It did not look good at all. So, like, part of me was like, holy shit, second rope P driver. And the other part of me was like, holy shit, that looked like hell.
I thought it was all right, man. Devastating.
All right, man? This is the WWF. You can't go off.
What do you want him to do?
I wanted a properly, well-executed say. It was not good, man. It was not good.
Well, nobody else is doing this, man. He's got really no point of reference.
Well, no, but if you... Okay, look at, like, Mick Foley when he does that fucking stump puller pile driver that he does, right? It's that quick pile driver where he grabs the guy's tights and barely lifts him up and does the pile driver.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like shit. It's never looked good. But he still does it. It's a pile driver. This was like the equivalent of that.
But he put that extra stank on him from...
That second rope stank,
being on the second rope, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it still looked like hell. Fun match, though.
That was a fun match. Rhodey struts his way up to the stage. He does a mic check. Looks like he's checking out all the drums, making sure everybody's good to go. This is a good spot. I guess the band's just assuming the position up there until it's their time to play.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. What else are they gonna do? Hang out backstage? That's where the wrestlers are.
They're sent to the back with some of the wrestlers. So you got Sid and the Million Dollar Corporation. So he's taking on Big Daddy tonight in the main event in that Lumberjack match. This is pretty much just the bad guys taking turns yelling at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make note of anything in particular.
No.
And then we go to Diesel's dressing room. There's some guy there to sell shirts for only $16.
That's Barry, man. That's T-shirt Barry. Barry Dedinsky.
Oh, yeah. Barry from last time.
Yeah. And now they got sizes large, extra large, and a double extra large. So it's no longer one size fits all. I think somebody called them on their bullshit.
Yeah, no. Nothing for the smaller customers, though. Not even a medium.
No. You probably could sew a couple of those together to fit Yoke's fat ass in the bucket.
You like that shirt?
Nah.
Yeah.
Now, what's to like about it?
Oh, I mean, it's got some of your favorites on there, man.
Yeah, I've never liked event shirts.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to get this Nashville fucking In Your House 2 shirt. That's not my style.
What if you were at the event?
Still no. I'd buy something from the merch stand, but it wouldn't be the event shirt. That's just not for me.
Well, next up, we got Men on a Mission, Mabel and Mo taking on Razor Ramon and Savio Vega. Got the big 568 Mabel out there first. They're just cloaked in regalia, and I guess Mo gets a crown, too.
That makes sense.
When does a sir get a crown, man?
Well, he's part of the royal party.
I didn't know they issued them to sirs.
I think they do. I don't know a lot about this type of thing, but like you see princes get crowns, right?
Well, sure, right?
Right. So, I mean, other members, yeah, maybe other members in the royal party also get crowns.
I suppose if something happens to Mabel, and honestly, he's 568, so.
Something's going to happen to him.
Yeah. So it is good to have a guy in the waiting in the wings there.
Right. And then we get King Mo.
Man, King Mo, he threw some surprising stuff in this one.
Hey, that's a thought. Would that? Just thinking now, King Mo, right? Yeah, Mabel won the King of the Ring. He's the king. But Mo being like his tag team partner, could they have worked an angle like that where like Mo's challenging for the crown?
I think they could have, but I don't know if anybody would have liked it.
Okay. That's probably fair.
Well, the bad guy, he's out there. He's got his ribs taped up. Savio's got that tiny flag again. But Razor rips off that rib wrap. Throws it right at King.
Rips off the rib wrap. You're a pro, man. Well played.
Starts off with Mo lands an impressive fallaway slam before tagging in Savio. And then Mabel gets in there. Mo tries launching his fat ass into the corner for a splash, but Savio moves. And we get a devastating belly-to-belly onto Savio, who gets tossed like a feather to the outside.
Is that Savio slander?
What are you talking about?
Well, you Savio gets tossed like a feather. I'm not having that shit, man.
That's what Vince said, man.
I don't give a shit what Vince said. Talk about what you just said. All right, you know, on this show, we don't bury Savio Vega. He's a fucking superstar. He's a vigilante. He's the man.
Mabel's got like 300 pounds on him, man.
I don't give a shit.
Well, it's a strong 568, so.
And it's Savio Vega. You don't toss Savio like a feather. You know, he once wished me a happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was a good day. It's a proud moment for me. I'm proud of myself.
You're proud of Savio?
Always proud of Savio, man. He's so fucking good.
Yeah, back inside the ring, Savio continues to get his ass kicked as Mabel lands that weird kick. What are we calling that thing?
I don't know. I don't know. It's a fucking tumbling lard kick.
Oh, here's a fun fact. Vince tells us that Savio broke the record last time by wrestling four times in a single night.
He's the best.
Let me ask you this, more impressive, four matches in a single night, four touchdowns in a single game.
Are you talking Al Bundy? Is that what you're doing to me right now? You're talking Al Bundy? Four matches in a single night.
Even though he lost one?
Even though he lost one, man. Shouldn't have, but yes.
Are they comparable at least?
No, I think more people have scored four touchdowns in a game than have wrestled four matches in a night.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think you probably even got four in a game, didn't you?
I did.
So you're on the list.
I am on the list.
Savio hulks up. He tries to slam Mabel, which was, I know you love him and stuff, but that wasn't happening there for Savio.
I know. It was a miscalculation. He was really feeling it, you know?
He believed in himself, which that's a good trait.
That's a great trait, and it's important. You want to believe. You should believe in yourself. And he got caught up in the moment, and he said, you know what? I'm going to slab this big tub of shit. And he got him up, and he just, just didn't go his way this time. But you got to admire
him.
He kicks out, and you have to admire him.
And he takes that drop toe leg drop combo, but Razor breaks it up. It looks like Moe's going for a damn moonsault. Did not see that coming.
A moesault, if you will.
Yeah, the moesault. He misses.
That's what you need when your plate's a little bland. What do I need? I need moesault.
A little moesault. Lawler says, don't do that no mo.
No mo, don't do that.
Savio's finally able to make the tag. Razor gets it in there, delivers some high-impact offense. Wants to do the Razor's Edge, but can't. And then Mabel goes to the top rope. Gets slammed off. But after some interference by Mo, Mabel gets the DDT, squashes Razor in the corner, and hits him with a belly-to-belly for a clean 1-2-3. Men on a mission are victorious.
Yeah, Razor let the team down.
They're still strapping it to Savio, looks like here.
Which they should. He's a fucking superstar, man. How many times I got to tell you? Savio Vega's a superstar. He's a vigilante. And he's a superstar, and the rocket should be strapped to him, and he should go straight past the moon to whatever stratosphere, atmosphere, universe, galaxy, whatever it takes, man. Put the belt on him.
So we got two matches, two clean finishes.
Yeah, I like that.
That's pretty good. Well, Hot Toddy Pettengill's on the stage. He's living his dream up there.
Jesus, this is bad.
Talks to the band, does a call and response with the drummer.
So this is something I want to ask you on this, because you're a drummer, right? You drum probably a couple times a week. You're out there on the gigging circuit.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever had an MC or a host on stage grab a mic and start scatting and asking you to fucking do the call and response?
Never.
Never. So what the fuck is Hot Toddy doing?
He says he's always wanted to do it.
Yeah, he's like, I've always wanted to do this. Skittle-a-pop, 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 pop cheese. And then the drummer starts trying to mimic him. And he goes, scoop, boobadoo, boop, boop, ta. He doesn't do that. It's like, what are you doing, Hot Toddy? I can knock it off.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird move.
Yeah.
And I've done hundreds of gigs at this point, and it hasn't happened once.
Yeah.
However, if Hot Toddy showed up, I'd play along.
Of course, yeah. Hot Toddy, if he demands it of you, you're doing it.
Looks like Hot Toddy got rid of his mullet.
It's a clean look.
Yeah. Looking pretty clean out there. And Todd sends us to Doc Hendricks. He's in the back with some of Diesel's lumberjacks. So Doc's just trying to stir up shit again. Says one of these guys is a traitor. And then they all said that basically Ted can take his money and shove it up his ass. And then Bam says he's going to set Sid on fire. Just a bunch of big guys yelling at the camera again.
Again, yeah.
Up next. I mean, you ready for this, man?
So, yeah, I'm ready for this. I am ready. Fucking double. Oh, man. Double J comes out and he like cuts like a half-hearted promo beforehand. And he says that he wears the Intercontinental Championship belt proudly. And he's not fucking wearing the Intercontinental Championship belt. Like, well, where's the fucking belt, man? Where's the fucking belt?
So you think you should be wearing the belt up on stage?
If you're going to make a point in your pre-concert promo to say, I wear, because I believe he says, I wear this Intercontinental Championship proudly. And he's not wearing it.
He should be wearing it.
He should be wearing it. If you're going to use the line, wear the belt. fucking the singers are gross, man. the singers are gross. Like, I, no. I am going to pass. Take me to Stephanie Wyand, please. All right. I will not
taking that 3-on-1 assignment.
I would not take that 3-on-1 assignment. I would not Romeo any of their log cabins. So that's not going to happen. Throughout this performance, I really want Vince McMahon to shut the hell up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought about the play-by-play happening during the song.
We don't need that.
No.
Just let them play their song. And, like, there'll be moments of no lyrics, and you hear Vince McMahon chime in and be like, Big Al on the guitar! Like, that's not a good Vince McMahon. I don't know why. It was like a half Doug Hendrix anyways.
Big Al is tearing it on the guitar.
So Big Al can play, sure, he can play the guitar. And then Vince says, at one of the points where there's no lyrics, he goes, oh yeah, we be rockin'.
He sure does.
We be rockin'?
You don't need to say that, Vince.
We not be rocking. that's not the way it works out. It was pretty bad. And I don't know if it was because, like, the lip syncing was bad, right? And I know it's probably not super easy to lip sync, but this has been, like, you've had time to build this up. You know, you should know you can lip sync this. It wasn't, like, horribly off, but you could definitely tell.
I could tell he practiced quite a bit because it was pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. Vince McMahon chiming in. Ugh, stop it. Stop it. Stop rocking so much. Stop with Big L on the guitar. And then the singers, man. I just, I don't know what you saw in them. I didn't see much. All right. That's just what I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to move on to this. I have in front of me the lyrics for With My Baby Tonight. And I'd like to kind of go through them with you if we could.
All right. I mean, all right. I thought it was a pretty riveting performance, man.
It riveted you.
I mean, if Big Al wasn't there just killing it the whole tune, it probably wouldn't have had as much luster for me. But I'm like, okay, you actually got a legit band here kicking ass.
So, wait a second. You know? Like, let's just say baseline on this is C, right? Because C is passable, right? Well, D is passable, but C is, like, average, right? And then you throw Vince McMahon out there. That's going to drop it down. You throw those hideous backup singers out there, that's going to drop it down. You throw the lip syncing aspect of it, that's going to bring it down. And you're still riveted?
Big Al, man. And the drum guy.
You are easy to satisfy. So, yeah.
The backup singers were singing. They're doing some call and response with Double J.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were calling. There's the response. Yeah, no. No. Why are we going back to these god? Yeah, I got the goddamn words, but why are we going back to the backup singers? All right, do you got a moonstem for those backup singers? I mean, everybody likes
a lady on the show, man.
Ah, you fucking horn dog. That's It always comes back to that with you, doesn't it? It always comes back to you. You're like, you know, they're not good looking at all. They're hideous, in fact. And then you're like, oh, but there was six tits on stage. Like, oh, you got to work on that, man. You got to work on that. Good. Pounding off to backup singers. Anyways, I had the lyrics.
Well, give them to me, man.
Oh, see, no, I'm not giving it to you, all right? Get settled down. You're thinking about backup singers too much. So, it starts off, spend my day working hard on the go, but the hands on the clock keep spinning too slow. Everybody knows that, right? Everybody.
I can't wait to be alone with my baby. Man, it's a catchy number.
Right, the next line is, because I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight. You know, my baby's got me wrapped around her little old finger. Her little old finger. So she's dating an old broad, right?
It's more like fanger, right?
Fanger, yeah. Little old fanger. So I didn't realize that it was little old. I thought he drew out the little more. But it is little old finger. Fanger. Little okay. old fanger.
So far, so good.
Because she knows that I'd walk through hell and back just to be with her. Oh, I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight.
Some commitment.
Turn the lights off. Wait. Turn the lights off, bar the doors. That's what the line is. Turn the lights off, bar the doors. So this is kind of like a hostage situation.
Well.
You don't bar the doors in if they're willing to be with you.
Here's what I'm thinking, man. The ladies are singing that part, right? So that's the lady who's saying, you know, we got to turn the lights off and bar the doors, right? It's screaming consensual to me, man.
But it's still a hostage situation.
Well, it sounds like Double J's a willing hostage.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's not safe either, because what about fire code, man?
Gotta jump out the window.
What if you're on a high rise? Isn't that how Ben Franklin died? Yeah, I think that's how Ben Franklin died. Didn't he like catch something because he jumped out the window of one of his horse places? I think I heard that somewhere in college.
What a way to go!
Yeah,
Ben Franklin. Moment of silence.
Oh yeah, Ben Franklin. He was a rebel indeed.
Like to get naked and smoke on the weed.
Yeah, plow some of his whores. He was a revolutionary.
He was a swordsman.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin, hardly knew you.
In fact, we never knew you. We wish we could have met you.
Father of our country.
Moment of silence.
Moment of silence. So he's still in the first verse of the tune here.
Well, let's see where we're at here. Bar the door. Never thought that with my baby tonight would lead to a Ben Franklin moment of silence.
Never know what you're going to get here.
That's true. Turn the lights off, bar the doors, and we'll leave all the worries of the world behind. Hold me in your arms. Never let me go. Now we move into, baby, it's true. I got a one-track mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to concentrate around a girl like mine. If your mind is one... Well, it rhymes, but it doesn't make any fucking sense. You got a one-track mind. And it's hard to concentrate around a girl like mine. So his one-track mind, clearly, from what I'm reading so far... is just about plowing his broad, right? That's all he's thinking about.
Oh, yeah.
So that's his one-track mind. And he can't concentrate on plowing his broad, which is all he thinks about, if his broad is around, that's a real situation.
Real distracting broad. Maybe she does all the work, huh?
Yeah, maybe she does. Maybe she also works for Yokozuna. And then where are we at here? Girl like mine, and I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight. Turn the lights off, bar the doors, and we'll leave all the worries in this world behind. Hold me in your arms, never let me go. I'm the kind of guy that likes to do things right. So you won't find me complaining if it takes all night.
Oh, yeah.
But he can't concentrate, man. You think that's why it's taken all night?
Probably.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's plow. Let's plow. Let's plow. I should go make something to eat. Let's plow. Let's plow. Have you ever ironed curtains before? Oh, let's plow. Does anybody know the
sense.
Does anybody know the lattice method? Yeah, let's plow, let's plow.
Oh man, I think you're getting to the big bridge, huh?
I'm getting there. It takes all night. Wait, be alone with my baby tonight. He says, maybe what we're doing might be wrong. How in the world could we be wrong? We're fucking
right.
I never knew that love could take so long. Must have had some of that blue chew, right?
Well,
I wake up in her arms with the sunlight peeking through the curtains in my room, and there's just one thing I'm thinking. I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight. So you just had an all-night-long fuckfest. You fall asleep, you wake up. The sunlight's peeking in the curtains, and the first thing he's thinking is like, oh, I can't wait for tonight. We're going to fuck again. Why don't you just fuck right there? But why would you be like, oh, man, I can't wait for tonight. Just fuck again.
It's time to reload, man. Nighttime's the right time.
He slept. A little recharge.
Well, I thought he was up all night.
Well, here it says he woke up. I wake up in her arms with the sunlight. Right. Yeah, he got some sleeping. Can't wait. Don't you know I lose my mind when I'm thinking about being with my baby tonight? Close the doors and bars and all that kind of stuff. Doors and bars. Can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight. Can't wait to be alone with my baby. Yeah, that's it. A lot more of I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight. So lyrically, I got to tell you, I'm not really impressed with the tune.
There's some rhymes in there.
Well, yes, there's rhymes. Sure, there's rhymes. He's got a one-track mind about fucking his broad, and then he can't concentrate about it. And then when he wakes up after plowing, he doesn't know, how could this take so long? Why can't I? This is a really tough nut to bust. What's going on here? You know I'm wrapped around her finger. And then he wakes up, and he's like, oh, man, can't wait for tonight. She's right there, right? She's right there. The doors are still barred closed, right?
Right.
Just get it over with. Go back to work.
Man, it's got a catchy hook. Can't deny that.
Fine, it's got a hook, man. He's no John Popper.
Man, I thought you'd be more impressed with your guy Double J's big performance here.
I love Double J. I'm a big Double J guy.
Who would have thought I'd be defending the performance?
I didn't think this would be the case. Yeah. Huh. You know why? I know why you're doing it.
Huh.
Six tits.
Well, six tits and Big Al shredding the guitar.
Oh, yeah. You just want to sneak Big Al in there, don't you?
Big Al knew what he was doing, man. So where would you rank it on a scale of like A to F?
D plus.
Man. I thought you liked Double J more than that, man.
I love Double J. I hate country music.
D plus.
I'm not giving him specifically just him a D plus. All right, I'm factoring in a lot of things, right? A lot of things. Hideous backup singers. Hot toddy scatting before the performance. The lip syncing. The fact that it's a fucking country music song. I don't like the lyrics, right? It's got a hook, sure, but I don't like the lyrics. I don't like the lyrical content of the song. So if I factor in all those things, I landed at a D plus. Right, where do you land? You get a fucking 5-star, A plus, 4-apple fucking banger?
I'd probably be somewhere in that C plus, B minus range. I thought the band was good.
You would.
And let me ask you this. So, like, we know he was lip syncing.
Of course we do.
But could you really tell?
Yeah, you could really tell.
Without, like, knowing that he was? Because everybody else was live.
Too many things, if you're watching it. He turns his back to the audience too many times. He cups the mic over his mouth. Right. And there's times when, like, he pulls the mic away. But if you'll notice it, it's during the things that you're going to hear him sing over and over again, or lip sync over and over again. With My Baby Tonight. With My Baby Tonight. That's when he's kind of got back, mic open, mouth open. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I can tell. You can tell.
Well, we're told the song's going to be available tomorrow on cassette tape. I'd like to hunt one of those down.
I don't think they actually released them, man.
Well, if you're out there and you got one,
we'd like it.
We'd like it, for sure. I still got a cassette player.
Yeah, just give it to us, too.
I'll play it.
Yeah.
We'll see more of Double J a little bit later. But now we get an infomercial for SummerSlam. Got Big Daddy picking up a babe in his Jeep.
It was a Hummer.
Was it a Hummer?
Yeah, that's why I laughed real hard. Big Daddy pulls up. And there's that babe sitting out there. It's like, going to SummerSlam. Hummer in the Hummer, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I started thinking about fucking Vince Russo. You know, in the Hummer. That's not good. I haven't done a Vince Russo in a while.
No, man. You had a pretty good Vince Russo.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's writing right now, if he's come aboard yet.
No, it's not fucked up enough yet.
He's probably doing the magazine stuff, because I think he did that before he became a...
Yeah, he was Vic Venom.
Vic Venom, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're sent to Hot Toddy again. He's really working hard tonight. Wants to see what the crowd thinks of Double J's performance. Kind of a mixed reaction.
Yeah, very mixed.
Here we get some farm sounds and a banjo, and out comes the hog farmer, Henry Godwin. Good to see him in singles competition.
Yeah, I like Henry O. Godwin.
Just a big, tough guy.
Just a tough, not taking any bullshit off of nobody. Hog farmer, you see the hat he was wearing?
Oh, yeah.
Levi Garrett, number 5. You know what that is?
I'm guessing he's a stock car racer.
That's what I thought, too. I put in a lot of, like, I was like, perfect. Like, I flipped a couple pages of my notes, and I was like, I'm going to take my Levi Garrett notes here. I'm going to be somewhat of a Levi Garrett historian going into this. So I'd be like, man, here's his racing stats, everything. You know what I found out?
What's he, a ball player?
Not a ball player. It's not a stock car racer.
Is it the Levi jeans guy?
No. That's a good guess, though. It's a brand of chewing tobacco, which made me like it more, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, we're showing Adam Bomb getting slopped recently. I got to say that Godwin theme, if you want to call it, that has to be a contender for the worst. Because all it is like oinks and moos and Henry yelling at him. Trying to round him up.
There was music playing when Henry O came down.
It was like an occasional banjo, but it was mostly him saying, "Sweet," and, you know, oinks and other farm animal noises.
No,
man.
This is one of those where the music actually works perfect. It's not something you like, not something you want to hear, but it's not bad in the way that, like, Isaac Yankum's drill is bad.
Yeah, it's tough to top the drill.
Right.
I mean, I liked it when he incorporated Hillbilly Jim's country boy theme.
Well, it's because now all of a sudden you're a fucking country music fan.
Well, some stuff. I like the country boy theme. You can't tell me you don't like the country boy theme.
Yeah, I'm sure Hank Williams wrote it for you.
He probably did.
Don't go messing with a country boy, a country boy, a country boy. You don't go messing with a country boy. Don't mess with a country boy. Great. Knocked it out of the park there.
Pretty memorable. Sometimes all you need is one line, you know.
Save for later.
Did you get a look inside that slop bucket? It looks like a chef salad in there.
It kind of did look it looked a little bit like a chef salad. You're right, yeah.
Well, the Beast from the East is out there with this fancy red jacket. Get some flaming pyro. Godwin connects with the belly to back, and Bam doesn't sell it at all.
Nothing. And I thought about this. If you're going to no sell, super early in the match would be the time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, as you're all jacked up.
Right.
Yeah. And he proceeds to give Henry a couple of those same slams. We're told about the close calls that Henry O has had lately with world champion Diesel. Has been quite able to get the win, but sends the Beast to the outside, slams him on the floor.
Now, here's something that I need you to talk to me about.
Shoot.
Officials Earl Hebner. He's counting them both. Henry O slams him, rolls into the ring, breaks the count, rolls out of the ring, continues to do work. And he does that twice. He breaks the count. Like I was saying last episode, you roll in, you roll out, you break the count. Or you didn't take notes for it this time because it doesn't fit your
no,
narrative.
It's not consistent, man. Because nobody did that last time. And they kept breaking the count except when Yoke was involved.
Broke the count. Rolled in, rolled out, broke the count. He didn't roll in and stay in. So the referee keeps counting. He rolled in and rolled out, which breaks the count. You didn't make note of that?
No, I seen it.
Okay, but you didn't want to make note of it.
Nah.
Yeah, because you know what's happening. You are one sly sack of gooey shit, aren't you?
Man, you're over there just championing the referee's discretion again.
No, I'm not. I hate the referee's discretion.
Man, this whole breaking up the count thing has all been referee's discretion. There's no consistency.
Maybe there's been a misinterpretation of the rules by some officials.
I mean, I want to trust that Hebner's doing the right thing.
Yep. He's a senior official. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah. He was bought once, though. Could happen again.
I think we've put some rules in place that won't happen again.
All right. Well, what you want me to say? You're right. Is that what you're going for?
No,
here?
You don't need to say. I mean, I know I'm right. You don't need to say it. I just wanted to make sure that you saw what happened there.
Yeah, I seen it. Yeah, Godwin really putting the hurt on him. He goes for the slop, unable to connect. And I'm thinking to myself here, Arkansas is right next door. Maybe he should be the favorite here. Right?
Is Arkansas right next to... No, it's not, is it?
Right next to Tennessee.
On the bottom?
On the west.
Huh.
It's in the south. You think he'd be a favorite in the south, right? A farmer?
Yeah, you would think so. That would make sense. I think the older that I get, the more I forget about geography.
Because
I thought it was more like in the Oklahoma area.
I think if you keep going more lefter, you run into Oklahoma.
So it's like Arkansas. Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma?
I think it's something like that.
Okay. Huh.
Because, I mean, if you just go straight down from us, you're going to get...
You're going to get to Arkansas.
Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, yeah. And then... Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, okay. Florida.
Gotcha. So, okay, that makes more sense then. Yeah.
So Bam Bam gets him down, goes upstairs. Both of them miss high-flying moves. But Bam Bam is able to get the pin after Hog misses his high-flying move.
Yeah, it was a really bad. It was a really weird ending to this match. Wasn't it? Like, I like Henry O. I like Bammer, too. This match was for a while, I was kind of into it. And then the finish came, and I was like, well, that sucks, man. Like, the finish was Bammer misses the top rope. Henry O goes up to the second rope, throws a second rope knee, misses it. Bammer rolls him up, and it's over. Just a weird, weird ending to the match. Like, you want to see the Bammer headbutt, the Bammer salt, or the slop drop. And they didn't give us any of those satisfying things.
Yeah, not very satisfying. I, too, like both of the guys. But kind of a throwaway. But kind of another clean finish. So
that was clean.
That.
Yeah.
And then we think we're going to be sent back to Todd Pettengill again, but instead we get Bob Backlund talking to some youths. Can you hear what he's saying?
I can't hear what Bob's saying, but I hear both the Utes tell them that they will be voting for Bob Backlund.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He won their support, huh?
Yeah, the one guy on Uncle Bobby B's right said, I support you for President Backlund. And then the other guy on the left says, I'll vote for you.
Huh.
Yeah, I would too, man.
It looked like he was really laying into the Kurt Cobain shirt kid.
Which is the right thing to do.
He had his finger just pointing him.
Not a good role model.
That might be all we see of Bob this show, actually.
It is.
It's too bad.
It is.
At least he's out there campaigning, you know.
Hey, man, you can't get the votes if you don't campaign.
It's true. Now we get set to Todd. He's in the back with HBK. He's got the white gear this time. He's got metal plates again.
Yeah, but I think they're gold.
You like this look or the last one?
I think the gold look is a little bit better. A little bit crisper. I'm still not sold on the outfit, but.
Sean talks about his birthday, calls Double J Goldilocks. Says he's going to be taking him down.
It's fucking dumb. He stumbles on World Wrestling Federation, and then he corrects himself. He's like, that's what we still call this place, right? And he talks about how nobody called him on his birthday. Well, maybe it's because you're a prick. You think about that, HBK?
He is a world-renowned prick at this time.
That's what I'm saying.
We got Double J taking on Shawn Michaels for the Intercontinental title. Brody comes out by himself first. Brody says Double J does nothing half-cocked. Introduced the champion.
That was a weird time kill.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a very strange time kill. I don't know what happened, but this is a very short event, too, so it was just weird to have him, Roadie, come out and do a time kill right there. And then half-cocked made me laugh. It's like, Double J only does things fucking full-cocked. Hard-cocked. That's how Double J gets his business done. Well, you know, when he's with his baby tonight.
Mm, right. All night.
With the doors barred.
Just how he likes it.
Ben Franklin style.
Well, the boy toy is out next. And he should have really been out first. He's not the champion coming in here.
True.
He does a striptease bit, and Vince declares, Sean is hot tonight. HBK's got the white and gold gear. Double J's rocking the blue gear with the stripes. Should be a classic matchup here, and it kind of is.
Yeah, when I saw Double J's blue gear, first thing I thought was, I wonder why Sean wasn't an asshole to Double J. Sean's got that blue gear rolling right now during this time period. He assholed comma. Why not asshole Double J?
You think he respects Double J?
You have to respect Double J.
I mean, he's the champion, 3-time champion here.
Yeah.
But this is a fun match, man.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think this probably takes over that first match as my favorite of the card so far. I mean, lots of reversals, lots of tit-for-tat business. Both these guys get knocked out over the top rope several times. And I got a line from Vince here. Vince wonders if Sean can sing.
So he does his entrance music.
He sure does.
Yeah. Do you know, did you have ever told you this, the girls in the Shawn Michaels entrance theme? Do you know that they're not girls?
You're at the beginning?
Yeah.
Who is it, man?
It's fucking Jimmy Hart.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's Jimmy Hart that does the oh, Sean.
Huh. That's a pretty good fun fact.
Yeah, man, I'll hit you every now and again.
Yeah, that's kind of a mind blower there.
I was going to say, did I just blow you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to reset here.
Yeah, take a nap.
Man.
Were you just thinking about it now?
I'm trying to think, like, okay, so Sherry
did the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. She's not in the intro bit for the second one?
No.
Did they completely take her vocal track out?
They took her vocal track out. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's a shame. Oh, back in the ring here. Well, Sean throws Jared out for the second time. It looks like Double J is going for a count out. But then he does that bit you like where he breaks the count a few times.
Yeah. Took note of that for sure.
Michaels follows him out there. Tosses him in only to toss him right back out on top of the roadie.
Yeah, he's a little indecisive.
Follows it up with a big splash to both of them on the outside. Vince says he's never seen anything like that in his life.
Never.
Michaels takes a big backdrop over the top. Like I said, these guys are just taking turns throwing each other over the top rope.
Yeah.
And after Michaels wicked backdrop.
I was going to say, you're talking about the corner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vince says, unfortunately, that's it.
And fucking King gets horny, man. King gets so horny because they talk like right away that Vince says, unfortunately, that's it. And they're going to end up showing the replay. It is a wicked, like it's a really wicked, cool looking bump. Super dangerous, clearly. But then King, he's getting off on this shit, man. He's like, yeah, replay. But I want to see it. I want to watch it real slow. I want to see it real slow. Like, fucking settle down, King. It was kind of like, it was a little bit reminiscent to the Rumble 2000, the Michinoku.
Oh, yeah.
Except for he wanted to see that replay just over and over and over again. This one, he just wanted to see real slow.
Yeah, hell of a bump out there.
Yeah, good bump.
And that will not be it. But Double J goes to town with the damn stairs. Gets it back in the ring. Connects with the front suplex. Does that abdominal stretch where he gets the helping hand from the roadie. Always love to see it. Hebner finally sees it after about five or six times and goes over and gives it the boot. And then Roadie interferes. Lots of Roadie interfering in this one.
Too much.
Is it too much for you?
It's way too much.
It's pretty constant. This is by far the longest match. It's like 20 minutes. And it's good action, but there is a constant
interfering thing
happening here.
The thing that I tried to justify it in my mind by saying, okay, but he's a wrestler. You know what I mean? He's not necessarily a manager at this point. He's made the transition to wrestler. So then I was like, okay, is that okay that he gets a little bit more involved? And I'm still not necessarily like at peace with his involvement in the match. But I was able to kind of justify it a little bit more, I guess.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, he won the opening match. Yeah. And I don't like this at all. So Double J climbs to the top and looks to do like the exact same flying man that Michaels just did, but Hebner won't let him. Not fair.
No, it's not.
Rhodey lands a clothesline. Double J thinks he's going to win by countout. But Heartbreak manages to get back in there. Two exchange pin combos, neither of them able to pick up the win. And then Double J locks in that classic Double J sleeper. This is in for a good little while. Michaels breaks it up with a suplex, hits a flying forearm. Goes upstairs, and I thought he was going to go for like a moonsault because he had his back to him, but he does like a twist and double axe.
It was stupid. Like, remember when we talked about Ted with his no-look elbow drop and how fucking dumb it was?
Classic Ted. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here we have a no-look double axe. It's just, there's no smart behind this. Why would you ever need to throw a no-look double axe? See your target. Hit your target.
He hit him, though.
I mean, he got really fucking lucky, man.
Oh, he's got Double J in there.
Right, he got super lucky. You know, majority of the time, if this is earlier in the match, Double J's a little bit fresher. He's going to step out of the way, or he's going to punch him in the gut on the way down. I know, and even like the way that he landed it, or the way that he set it up, when Michaels was going up, he was like knees bent, ass out, like in the, you know, the proposition position. And then he doesn't moonsaw. He turns and he throws the no-look double axe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't for it.
He hits that nice elbow, and then he ends up ramming Double J's jewels into the post. Jarrett then tries to call a timeout. Jarrett's still got some fight left in him. Hits a superplex, wants to go for that figure four. Sean kicks his ass and runs into the official. Then after yet another interference by the roadie, we get Double J connected with the high cross body for a two. And then he throws Michaels Irish whip style, but Michaels reversed it. Then the roadie accidentally grabs Double J's ankle instead of the Heartbreaks, enabling Michaels to nail the super kick to get the win, capture his third IC title. We get some fireworks and we hear Sexy Boy. Wonder who's singing that one.
That's going to be Sean.
Yikers. I really enjoyed this one. It was a bit overboard with the interference.
Yeah, way too much interference. It was... If they would have kept the interference to like two spots and just let the guys work a little bit more, I think it would have been better. That being said, it was a fun match to watch. There was one spot Rhodey got up on the apron too early and they had to jump down and they had to jump back up. That spot where he took a swing at Sean. So there's little things like that. But when you have a guy doing that much in a match when he's not actually in the match, it's, you know, it's kind of to be expected. So,
well, let me ask you this though, as being kind of a familiar position for you there. Yeah. He didn't get caught. He got caught once when he was doing the abdominal stretch bit.
Yeah.
I mean, was he doing a good job? Don't you want your guy to be helping you out like that under the guise of, you know, not getting caught and disqualified?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. In my mind, it's too much. Now, if on the outside, right, say it was Jimmy Hart, mm-hmm. and Jimmy Hart is doing all that shit, I'm super frustrated right now. But again, mm-hmm. since Dog has kind of made the transition to also wrestler, I give him a little bit leniency. It was still way too much.
Yeah, I got you. It was five or six separate occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, a couple would have done.
Yeah.
So we have a new Intercontinental Champion. We're sent to the back with Barry, who's peddling some Sean shirts. In the Faces locker room, Michaels comes into the shot to celebrate his win with his buddies. It's kind of another nothing segment.
Yeah. I fucking looking at that locker room and I was laughing so hard because you get Sean and you get, you know, Big Daddy and you got Razor, right? All those make sense to me. And then you got fucking Polacco Watch, which, you know, for whatever, and he's there. Like he's hanging out. He's a hanger on. And then you start looking at the other people in the locker room.
Make a difference, Fatu back there.
Make a difference, Fatu was there. Hardcore Bobula was there. Fucking Techno Team 2000.
Oh, yeah.
They're in that locker room. How does Techno Team 2000 make it into that locker room?
They needed some more Lumberjacks, man.
Okay.
I think you got Mad Mountain Rock back there, too, being, you know, being a
whatever,
fool.
Being whatever he is.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got to get your take on this. So the day after this show, where Double J debuted the new hit single, he and the Roadie quit.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know about this at all.
Yeah, so I'll let you get to Doc's bit here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
But allegedly it was due to the two being upset that they were breaking up the team too quick. Because Roadie cost Double J the title, right? That's a pretty big deal there. They were going to split the team up. But still, I don't know why you would just walk out on your... Seems like he's in a good spot here, and Roadie's on the come up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know anything about this. Even if I'd heard it before, I have no recollection of it.
Looking forward to the resolution here, man, but... So the storyline went away for a little over a year, and then the real Double J, the Road Dog, shows back with the baby face thing.
Okay.
We're not even going to see that this season.
No way.
Yeah, man, it's like late 96, Road Dog comes back.
But Road Dog is in the corner of Double J at the Royal Rumble.
Which one?
96.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. He clips Razor.
At Rumble 96?
Yeah.
I think Goldust was facing Razor.
Oh, shit. Was it Rumble 95 that happens? No, I'm pretty sure
we're going to have to double check.
Yeah.
Because I think Jarrett came back for a short period and then left again.
Right.
But that was several months after this. So they basically just bailed on this thing here, this country music gig, it was kind of a unique gig that they had going. It kind of worked.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
A couple of bad guys.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us what Doc has to say here?
Oh my gosh. So they cut to Doc, and Doc's just in a back hallway. And he's losing his fucking mind. And it's driving me nuts because they cut to him. He goes, oh, you never guess what just happened back here. You never guess. Jeff Jarrett was back here. And then Roadie was back here. And he's mad. And then he's mad. Everybody's mad. He shoved the other one and the other one. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on back here. Vince, it's crazy. So first of all, at this point, I thought that Doc was off the coke. Right. And from this, it appears that he's not. I think he's on the junk again. And his level of excitement for what's happening and the way that he explains it, is fucking, it's just horrible. And then he came back and he was mad. And then he came back and he was mad. And, and then Double J shoved Roadie. And then Roadie shoved Double J. Whoa. You're never going to believe what happened. No, I can fucking believe what happened. I can believe what happened. I can't believe how horrible you are at explaining what just happened.
So you didn't buy his excitement and extreme shock?
No, not at all. And he's like, I'm going to keep trying to figure out what's going on. And he slams his hand on the fucking door. God damn it, man. Just push the door open. Right, just push the door open. Did you see how he did that? He reached up in like the top corner of the door to slam on the top corner of the door. That's not how it works, man. And then he came back and he was mad.
and then wrote, then he came back, he was mad.
Shut up, Doc Hendricks. Just shut the fuck up. I did not like this. I did not like this. I was waiting for it. Cause the one thing that would have been redeeming about this from Doc, if he would have like completely went into like promoter mode. And he was like, and this all happened at in your house too.
We are going to see Double J come back at the end of the year. Then briefly, he gets to do a little bit of a feud with Ahmed Johnson, but
okay.
But they bail on this country music thing.
I remember the Ahmed. So was it Ahmed and him at the Rumble?
Yeah.
Okay. There it is.
Maybe he comes in with the NWA contingent.
That was after he came back.
I'm not sure. He came back and left several times.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes, man. That's the beauty of the ride, right? But next up, we got the tag team titles on the line. Owen Hart and Yokozuna taking on the Allied Powers. Once again, the champions are out there first.
Yeah.
And the Allied Powers are led out by a couple of young fellas waving flags. Neither of these guys were in action last month either.
Yeah. Think about it, though. Like, Dog actually would have been a good King of the Ring. I would have liked that.
He's got a heel turn coming up, so that would have been a good spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
another member of the family.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Luger. Ish.
King Lex.
Yeah. Neither one of these guys seem very pumped about being in a tag team.
No, not really. I mean, they're in a tag title match. That's a step up from the Blues.
Yeah, I mean, the Blues aren't in a tag title match.
Oh, we're going to see the Blues a little bit later, though. But first, we got to get through this tag title match. So we're told about the old days when Luger slammed Yoko on that Intrepid. And those two started off here. Yoko getting off to a hot start before getting his head rammed into the top turnbuckle for the 10 count. Then Luger knocks Yoko on his ass, and he falls on Owen's foot.
Very funny spot.
Which is pretty funny. Yeah.
Owen gets in there all pissed, and Yoke shoves him, which is, you know, that shows a little bit of, dissension in the ranks, which is, I like that, because that's not ultimately how, like, this story is going to play out, is between Owen and Yoke, but they're showing that, you know, Yoke's kind of his own man.
Yeah.
Yoke's kind of like six men, but.
Yeah, he's about six.
Yeah.
Average men put together. And then James E. Cornette really shows his value by getting in there, getting it back on the same page.
Get on the page.
Right. But yeah, I didn't know if this is where the team blew up or what. I knew that the Allied Powers weren't a former tag team champion, so I figured not. But that was pretty surprising to see him get into a shoving match there.
Yeah, and I think Lex is just about done now.
Where are we at? July? Yeah. Do you recall when Nitro started? Was it September or something like that?
I actually don't off the top of my head. I don't.
It's maybe August or September, but
yeah.
Yeah, he's not long for the company. Well, Owen and Davey, they trade off reversals and flippy guys until Bulldog gives Owen a toss and a slingshot. Davey goes off the ropes, gets clobbered by the big guys. Vince tells us we're going to give you as much action as possible before the pay-per-view feed gets cut off. Meanwhile, Owen is waving the Japanese flag on the apron. I don't know why, but I laughed. I didn't know you could do that. Like,
yeah.
On the apron?
Yeah, why not?
That's a foreign object, man.
Yeah, but he's just waving it.
What if you had, like, a chainsaw, but you weren't, like, slicing anybody with it?
If you're just waving it?
Yeah.
I think you're allowed to wave things.
Really?
Yeah. Flag, chainsaw. I suppose you could probably, you know, whip out your hog and wave it around if you wanted to. I think you can wave things. As long as you're not using them as a... It's kind of a distraction technique in a lot of ways.
Right.
But I think you're allowed to waive things. The same as like so a manager isn't allowed to get up on the ring, so like on the apron. But every now and again, you see a manager get up on the apron. They're just like, get down. It's but true. I think you're this is the actual talent. You know, the wrestlers in the match, just taking an object and waving those around. I think you're okay to do that.
Thanks for clarifying, man.
Yeah, no problem.
So Owen gets tagged in, connects with a spinning wheel kick. Luger and Zuna get back in there. We got a melee. It's all Lex at first. Takes out both tag team champions. Gorilla pressing Owen into yoke. Connecting with the clothesline to send the big guy down. Then the Allied Powers showing off that power, connecting with a double back suplex onto yoke. Luger goes for the pin, but the referee is distracted. Owen comes flying in, nails Lex. Yoke follows it up with a leg drop to the back of the head. And Yokozuna and Owen Hart pick up the win and retain the titles. It was good to see Owen in action.
Yeah, it's good to see Owen in action. I like Davey. Nobody's getting behind the Allied Powers. And I think a lot of it's because you can see that the Allied Powers aren't behind the Allied Powers.
Yeah.
Like, they don't give a shit about being the Allied Powers.
No. It's a badass tune they have. That's probably the best thing they got going for them.
Yeah, it's a good song, man. That's a contender for entrance of the damn year.
Well, Vince tells us to give that Superstars line a call. And I see it's more expensive to call from Canada and Puerto Rico.
Long distance.
Oh. We see Sean back there talking on the phone. Then we get a video package of what led us here to our main event.
In the video package, Hot Toddy calls Diesel Big Daddy. Like, not Big Daddy Cool. He just calls him Big Daddy. Thought that was fucking perfect. But he calls a P-bomb a P-slam. And they're showing
this is
a clipped up thing. Right, this is a in the can production gimmick, and he calls Psycho Sid's power bomb a power slam. That doesn't sit right with me.
That was a mess. Yeah, he gives you a big daddy, and then he misses on the name of a move.
Yeah.
These guys headlined the first in Yaha.
In Yaha.
And then again in a tag match last time, you see some rehab that Big Daddy's been doing. Champions in the back with Hot Toddy. It says, welcome to Big Daddy Cool's world. He's going to finish this once and for all. We're told this is the first time World Heavyweight title has been up for grabs in a lumberjack match on a pay-per-view. We get a random shot of some of the creatures of the night out there. Man, I think this is the most lumberjacks that I've seen. Is there a standard amount?
I think usually you get 10 aside. This is 15 aside.
They got 15 aside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was a standard. You don't see too many lumberjack matches.
Nah, they've kind of phased out.
So that was one of my, you know, make my promotion great ideas.
Yeah.
Your special show a couple years ago had more lumberjack matches.
Yeah.
At least they're getting everybody on the show here, which is good. We're going to see some of your favorites out there.
Yes.
So Sid's Lumberjacks are the recently crowned King Mabel, Mo, IRS, Kama, King Kong Bundy, Tatanka, Henry O. Godwin, Rad Radford, Skip, Dr. Tom, the Blue Brothers, Triple H, Jean-Pierre Lafitte, Mantar, and...
Gigolo, Jimmy, Del Rey.
Man, I didn't think we'd see him.
Oh, I was so fucking happy to see him.
What a lineup of mediocrity that is.
What a fuck yourself. Just fuck yourself. You can eat a shit. You hear the names that you said Henry O, fuck Triple H, Gigolo Jimmy, and you say a lineup of mediocrity. You definitely gotta check your measuring stick there, bud.
Well, let's see what Big Daddy's
Big Daddy and Techno Team 2000.
Big Daddy's Lumber Daddies here.
Yeah, it's the Lumber Daddies. It's not bad.
Yeah, Bam Bam, Razor Ramon, Savio Vega, The Kid, Mad Mountain Rock, Atom Bomb, Techno Team 2000, Duke the Dumpster, Make a Difference, Fatu, Hardcore, Bobula, and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, you know what I didn't like? The Lumberjacks all show up together except for Shawn.
Yeah, he comes out with Big Daddy.
Yeah, I'm a lumberjack, but I'm gonna walk out with the champ, Mr. Fucking Glory Hound, Mr. I Want the Spotlight.
That's you know who should, he is.
Yeah, I know, but Savio should have came down with the champ if anybody.
Let me ask you this.
Ask away.
You take out Savio, you take out Jimmy Del Rey. Yep. Which one of these teams you taking?
I'd probably take Big Daddy's Lumber Daddies.
Mm. Pretty good collection of Lumber Daddies.
You just a second ago, you said it was a fucking, it was the example of mediocrity.
That's Sid's Lumberjacks.
Oh. Sid's Lumberjacks.
With IRS and Comma, Dr. Tom and the Blues. And
yeah, you just named two fucking Hall of Famers.
Who? The Blues?
IRS.
He's a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Oh.
King Kong Bundy?
Bundy's a little past his prime here.
Triple H?
Triple H is just starting out.
Mediocrity.
Awful lot of man out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that Survivor Series match, the tag team match. There's about, like, you know, 60 guys in the match.
Oh, yeah, the 20 on 20.
Yeah, yeah.
With 5-6 managers on each side. Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of like this, though, because there's really nowhere to go. They're completely surrounding the thing, pretty much shoulder to shoulder out there. Let's see how it goes here. Sid gets knocked out first. It's tossed back in by the Vigilantes, Savio Vega, amongst others. And then Sid rolls out to his side of the ring, gets a little pep talk from his guys. Big Daddy goes out, gets a beating, and then we have a big melee as everybody gets involved. Sid gets some boots in, works over the midsection. And then kind of a fun visual when the referee gets distracted on one side and the whole other side interferes on their guy's behalf. But Big Daddy makes a comeback, and then he does a legit suicide dive over the top rope.
That shocked the shit out of me.
Yeah, he went after all the heels.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, but it was fucking shocking. Did not see that coming.
Stupid move by the champion.
Yeah, bad move, but you know, at the same 15. Time. Well, yeah, but still, like, dumb, right? Dumb, but brave.
Yeah, that's what you want from your champion.
Brave and cool, right? Big Daddy.
Bravery, yeah.
Yeah.
You ever see him do that again? Or is that a one-time only for Nash?
That's the only time I can, like, in my mind. And I didn't even remember that he did it here. You know what I mean? I've seen this event before. It shocked the shit out of me. I'm just watching it, you know, go, okay, kind of a fucking tough match to watch. And all of a sudden, Big Daddy goes flying over the top.
Did not expect it.
And it wasn't like it wasn't like one of those cruiserweights, like, I'm going to go off the ropes and get a giant running start. He just kind of turns and fucking jumps over the top rope. Oh, man, what a crazy-ass Big Daddy.
That kind of gives him a couple of points for the bravery.
Oh, I'll give him some points, yeah.
And King Mabel gets a hold of him, rams him into the post, gives him a beatdown on the outside. Meanwhile, just Melee City on the outside with all the Lumberjacks. I got to ask you, what do you think of Gigolo Jimmy's performance so far?
A+.
What's your favorite spot?
100% top honors.
Top honors? Highlighted the show here?
Top honors, highlighted the show, 100%. It was funny, not long after that Big Daddy leap. Was it Mabel? And Mo grab Big Daddy and pull him out of the ring there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of chuckled because I was like, ah, mom's pulling dad. I don't know why that tickled me, but I thought it was funny.
Little play on words there. Very nice. So you got a big diesel chant going. And after he gets the business from Mabel and Moe, Sid hits a P-bomb. And then doesn't go for the pin.
I was fucking furious.
Instead goes and high-fives all of the lumberjacks.
Fucking pin him, you idiot.
Stupid.
You put him in the P-bomb. That's your move. Get the cover. He did the same shit at the last fucking event. Hit the P-bomb and don't fucking do anything. Now, he went chin lock to P-bomb, which I was not expecting that. You don't usually see
pretty big progression there.
That wear down hold actually work where you get to get the guy in. Like, so I was okay with that. But just fucking pin him, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, he gets a two when he finally gets over for the cover. And then he goes for another one, takes a back body drop. And then Sid decides he wants to go outside in another baffling move and attacks all of Diesel's lumberjacks. HBK connects with something, because of course he does. And Sid gets back in there, takes a big boot from Diesel, and that's enough to put down the master and the ruler of the world and retain the title. I didn't like that ending either.
Nope.
Just a half-assed boot.
Yeah.
Puts down the master, the ruler.
Yeah, questionable all the way around. Didn't like the you know, Shawn Michaels. Like, why does Shawn Michaels, like, now he has got to get his shit in other people's matches? Like, it's one thing if it's your match. Get, you know, you want to be a guy and get your shit in your match? Fucking whatever. But now you got to get your shit in and on other people's matches? That bothered me. And then, again, you're right, the finish. What? No, don't do that to the master and the ruler. It's not even like a big high impact boot. He didn't throw like a fucking running big boot.
No.
Standard big boot.
Jackknife his ass.
Yeah, jackknife his ass. Yeah.
And then we get that, in your house. Yeah, in your house theme. Yeah. Kind of a highlight package of what we got. And I got to say, definitely a better show than the last one.
Yeah, yeah. This is better than King of the Ring. Now, if Savio had wrestled four times on this one, this would have been the best show of the year so far. Mm. In Your House 1, maybe.
You take In Your House 1 or In Your House 2?
I think I'll take In Your House 1 over 2. Yeah.
Well, after the broadcast, Bret the Hitman defeated Jean-Pierre Lafitte and The Undertaker beat Kama in a casket match.
Boy, that's pretty rad fucking dark matches.
Yeah. I'm liking these In Your Houses so far.
Yep.
So far we got kind of two good shows, two bad shows. The good ones are the In Your Houses.
You wouldn't expect that, yeah.
Right. But next up we got must be SummerSlam, huh?
It's damn SummerSlam time, man. We'll see what happens now, because now we're back to one of those staple shows, and you know, maybe we're gonna hit another fucking valley. I got the card. We got 1-2-3 is taking on Hakushi, which should be that should be a really good match.
That sounds like a match of the year candidate.
We got Sparky Plugs taking on Triple H.
Well, that'll probably be all right.
The Blues and the Guns.
Might be all right.
They seem like they would be better suited to fight alongside each other.
Yeah, a couple traditional teams.
Yeah. We got Skip, so we got Sonny on the card, so you're happy. Right. He's taking on Barry Horowitz.
Oh, yeah.
Couple more chicks for you there.
Oh, yeah, Lundra Blaze.
Yeah. Oh, Blaze and Faye, so realistically, that's like three and a half chicks. We got a casket match.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, guess who's in it?
Is it same as the dark match?
It's same as the dark match. We got Undertaker. Yep. Yep. Fuck, Yankum is taking on Bret Hart. So we're probably going to get some of those horrible dentist fucking vignettes.
I got to tell you, it's not sounded too bad so far.
It's not sounding great, though, at the same time. Like, it's not sounding bad, but it's not sounding like, you know, you don't got a moonstem yet.
Well, we got my match of the year here you're about to mention.
We got Razor and Sean in the ladder match.
Yeah. That'll be good.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I mean, we'll watch the show. We'll see.
Well, that's what we do, yeah. And then in your main event, you're going to have King Mabel.
Facing main event Mabel.
Main event Mabel's taking on Big Daddy for that championship strap.
That might be a little rough.
We don't know. Could be Mabel's best match.
I didn't see him going to the top here. He's been surprising me with some of the stuff he's been throwing.
Yep. No, I'm with you there, and I'm pretty sure that maybe they gave like Diesel's boot like some extra oomph, because I haven't watched this match in a very long time, but I have a really hard time thinking that there's any way that Mabel gets put in a jackknife.
Yeah, you think no way. Big Daddy's going to be able to jackknife Mabel? Fuh.
All right, is that it for what we got next?
That's it for what we got next, man. That's it.
All right, well, I want to thank you for tuning in again. Season 8, Episode 4. We talked about the...
In your house.
2.
In your house.
We'll see you next time at the SummerSlam. I'm your host, Duke Bags. Pull it out of there.
And some cut. Slide one in there. Looks like I found me one time.
Hey.